Last week, in preparation for the Supper, we considered some of the terminology connected to the Lord's Supper in the New Testament. The giving of thanks, or the Eucharist, is what it was called by some early Christians. And still to this day, I was told of a friend of mine, or an acquaintance of mine, that after he graduated from the Master's Seminary, took a church and said, next week we will be taking the Eucharist, and he got fired. Because I think his background was Anglican, and then he came over to some sort of dispensational evangelical Calvinist or something like that. And he used that language, and they couldn't handle it, the fundamentalist church or whatever. The giving of thanks, the Eucharist, in the Gospel of Luke, the Lord Jesus, as he's instituting the supper, it says that he took bread and he gave thanks, and he broke it. He took the cup and he gave thanks. That's where it comes from. It's okay if you say, are we going to participate in the Eucharist, in that through which we give thanks to God? That's for one reason why I think we say, are we going to celebrate the Lord's Supper this week? Celebrate. Where does that come from? Cheerfulness. Thankfulness. It's also called the breaking of bread in a few places, which means the graphic visual part of it. A portrayal of Christ's death on the cross. That's what the symbolism is when the bread is broken in your presence. It's also called the sharing in the blood and body of Christ, or a communion, some translations translate the word koinonia from 1 Corinthians 10:16, sharing in the blood of Christ, sharing in the body of Christ. There's something about the Lord's Supper that makes it more than a memory. It is a means of grace as well. And also it's called the cup and table of the Lord. Ooh, we have the table again. That's right. The cup and table of the Lord. It's of the Lord. That is, it's the Lord's. It's not us. It's not ours. It's not mine. It's not the church's. It's the Lord's. The right belongs to Him. He instituted it. The table at which it occurs is His. The cup is His. He presides over the table. He is Lord of the cup. He's Lord of the table. He's not a distant, though interested, onlooker. We could say this, at the Lord's Supper, the Lord serves Himself to us. That's one reason why you've heard us call Sunday, not just the Lord's Day, but the service itself, the divine service, where God, the divine, serves grace to His people. And then it's called simply the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians 11:21. Therefore, when you meet together, very interesting, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. They are meeting for the purpose of the Lord's Supper, but he says, that's not what's happening. You might call it that, but you guys have problems. So 1 Corinthians 11 is actually Paul's trying to correct some of the problems they had at Corinth, but he calls that which was instituted by our Lord the Lord's Supper. It's His, okay? He owns it, we could say. It belongs to Him. He presides over it, just as He does the table, the whole thing, the whole supper, cup and bread and cup, is His. The food that is served, it's His food. He instituted it. He uses it for His own spiritual purposes. It's not an ordinary meal. I don't think anybody in their right mind would say, well, this is just like any ordinary meal. No, there's something unique about it. It is a supper, food involved, but it's not like all other suppers. When you eat supper on Tuesday, you don't say, we're having the Lord's Supper. No, it's my supper. It's our supper. It's our dinner. So all suppers are not alike. Just as all days aren't alike, there's only one day of the week called the Lord's, and there's only one thing called the Lord's. There's only one supper called the Lord's as well. It's that which he instituted on the night in which he was betrayed. This is the only place, 1 Corinthians 11:20, where that which was instituted by the Lord on the night in which he was betrayed is called the Lord's Supper. Only one time. But it's really stuck with us. Sunday is only called the Lord's Day one time. Matter of fact, the word Lord's in 1 Corinthians 11:20 and Revelation 1:10 is only used two times in the Bible. Guess where they are? I just told you. 1 Corinthians 11:20, the Lord's Supper. It's an adjective. Now, the word Lord is used, but not this form of it. This is a unique form. It's only used twice, and it means something that peculiarly, I said it, belongs to the Lord Jesus, especially upon his resurrection and ascension. The Lord's Supper, the Lord's Day. Just as we would say, there is a distinction of foods in the New Testament. We should say that. Only one thing is called the Lord's Supper. All suppers are the Lord's, but not all suppers are the Lord's Supper. So we should say, there is also distinction of days in the New Testament. You know, sometimes you read Romans 14 and Colossians 2 and you go, no distinction of foods and days anymore. Hold on. There is. There's holy cup and bread. There's Lord's Supper. It's not yours or mine, but it's his. And there's day, the Lord's Day, because of the resurrection. So whatever those passages mean, they can't undo the holy food in the New Testament and the holy day of the New Testament. The Lord's Supper, the Lord's Day. And it means belonging to the Lord in a special way. And it's called the Lord's Supper after his resurrection and ascension. Just as the Lord's Day is called the Lord's Day after his resurrection and ascension. It is a supper that in a peculiar manner belongs to him as resurrected and ascended. And it is to be treated in a holy way. So we could say this, there's both a distinction of suppers and a distinction of days in the New Testament. Just as the Lord's Supper has peculiar religious significance for Christians, so does the Lord's Day. I said this already, I'll say it again. All suppers are not alike, neither are all days alike. Both the Lord's Supper and the Lord's Days are Jesus Christ's in a unique manner, and both get their name after he rises from the dead and ascends into heaven. Here's something else that's interesting about Lord's Supper, Lord's Day. When Paul writes 1 Corinthians, and you're reading it, and when he says in 11:20, when you meet together, it's not to take the Lord's Supper, there's not a footnote. There's not some place you go to say, oh, by the way, what I mean by Lord's Supper is this. The same in Revelation 1:10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. There's no interjection by John. Oh, what I mean by the Lord's Day is the day on which the Lord was raised from the dead. The assumption is, whatever Lord's Supper meant, or means, it meant that before Paul wrote 1 Corinthians. They already knew what it meant. I'd say the same thing with the Lord's Supper. The supper was called the Lord's before it was written down as the Lord's. So the writing of it and calling it the Lord's Supper doesn't make it the Lord's Supper. The words of institution by our Lord make it what it is. And then the disciples named these ordinances of our Lord supper and day. And it's 102. Let's pray. Lord, help us as we take the supper take it reverently, to take it joyfully, take it obediently, to take it expectantly. Bless, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.